This program is being brought to you by Zunink Advisory Services. With Heart to Heart, here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, good morning. I'm going to have to bring my own sunshine in here today because it sure is wet out there. I hope everybody's being careful driving because I know coming in here, the water was high and I drive by a lot of creeks and I'm looking at that rushing water. And so we have to be careful today, everybody, when you're out there on the road. So anyway, we're just going to like say, okay, rain, we're going to have our own sunshine today. And we have a sunshiny topic this morning. So we'll have fun with that. But I want to remind everybody that, as always, we'll be taking your questions, and I'll also do live readings if we have people who want to call in this morning. The number is 717-637-0052. Okay, so we're talking about animals this morning, but a different animal than we talked about in the past. It's not a dog. It's not a cat. No, it's not a horse either. But if you're planning to add a new pet to your family, this pet may be the one that will fit in with your lifestyle. For example, apartment living makes some pets more attractive than others. This one would be in that line. And if you can't or don't want to take a pet outdoors for walks, I'm sure you're all thinking that this morning, those of you with dogs that are walking in the rain. A dog may not be the best idea. So if you decided that a dog, cat, or another fur-covered creature isn't right for you, you might be intrigued by the idea of an exotic bird as a companion animal. So today's topic is birds as pets, and we have a bird expert as our guest today. So there's a lot of reasons that birds make good pets, but it's important to learn all you can about owning one before you take the plunge. So our guest today is just the guy to talk to. His name is Randy Grove. He's the president of the York Area Pet Bird Club. And Randy has loved animals his whole life. He started with bringing home stray dogs as a kid. And he's had birds since he first moved into his own apartment, and he got two cockatiels. He's going to talk to us today about the joys of sharing your life with our feathered friends. So let's just bring him on the air with us. Welcome, Randy.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
I'm not hearing anybody.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Yeah,
you're fine.
Is he on? Randy, are you there?
Yes, yeah. I am.
Why am I not hearing it? Oh, hold on. Hold on.
Maybe you need to plug it in. That'll work better.
Hey, Randy, I wasn't plugged in.
Okay.
My husband will like that one. Well, sorry, everybody. So, Randy, hi. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me today.
Well, I'm excited because, like I said, we've talked about lots of different animals, but we haven't talked about birds before. And I have to tell you, I was surprised to learn that, according to a national survey, there are 6.4 million American families that own birds as pets. Did you have any idea that they were that popular?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. So, well, of course, you know all kinds of bird guys. Well, so tell everybody a little bit about how you first got into this and how you got started with your first two birds when you moved out of the house.
Well, my mother's parents had parakeets, canaries, and cockatiels, and I was always fascinated by them. And I liked the birds, so when I got out on my own, I went and bought some birds and loved them ever since.
Oh, so you started with them at home because your parents had birds. Isn't that fun?
My grandparents.
Oh, your grandparents. Your grandparents. Yes. Okay. All right, so you wanted your own. You didn't want to have to always visit grandma to see the birds, huh?
Right.
All right, and then I know you moved out to, what was it, San Diego?
Yes.
Okay. And then, of course, you couldn't take your birds with you, so you...
Right, so I had to give them up for adoption, and then I moved back, and then I went to Rentzel's Bird Farm, and I bought a bird which was hand-fed and used to humans and stuff, and it snowballed from there.
Okay, so I like that you said that, because hand-fed, so it's used to humans, because, you know, you're thinking birds are really like wild animals, and how do you get them to be, you know, more people-oriented?
Well, birds are always in a flock. And if you have a pet bird and it's used to being around humans, you are adopted into its flock.
Oh, you become the flock.
Yeah, one of the members of the flock.
Okay, isn't that interesting? It's sort of like, you know, dogs are pack animals, and of course, birds are a flock animal. So
yeah.
I guess, you know, it would be stressful for them not to have a flock.
Right. Birds are very social animals. Owning a bird is a commitment.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that because I think people have, I know I did growing up, I had some, what I know now are inaccurate, you know, assumptions about having birds. So let's talk about that because I have to tell you too, growing up, we had a canary and at that time I didn't think anything of it being in its cage all day. I thought that's just the way it is with birds, but I've been doing a little research, Randy, knowing you're coming on. So I'm finding that that's very stressful for them to be in the cage
all
the time.
Yeah, it is. And what's really, really stressful is a round cage.
Oh, really? Now, why,
yes,
why does that make a difference?
Because they have no corner to go to and hide. When a stranger comes in that's not a part of their flock, they need, that's why a bird gets quiet, because you're considered, the person that's not a part of their flock is considered a predator.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
So they look at us as coming in there as we're a predator. We might be,
yes,
looking to eat them.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. So do you then put things in a cage now to give them things to hide in?
Well, what I do, I have my birds in front of a window, and the cage doesn't fit right at the window, so there's some space that they can go to if they see a bird outside that's not a part of their flock. They can go and get away from the window and things like this. People have what they call cuddle buddies, where it's like a felt cape or something they can hide under and things like this.
Oh, my goodness. You know,
yeah.
I had no idea. So they would actually see a bird outside your window that may be a hawk or something that would,
right,
definitely not be friendly.
Right.
And they would actually, you know, look for something to hide.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? It makes me think, too, about, you know, when you have cats and stuff and they see other cats outside, how they react.
Right.
It's so interesting. So tell me, too, I'm hearing more. I thought that, you know, when you had a bird, it's always in its cage. But I'm hearing that a lot of times they're outside the cage.
Yes. It's a good idea to, if you do let your bird out of the cage for any length of time, to trim its wings. Because what happens is if they see a open door or window or something like that, it's a possibility that they have them flying out and you'll never see the bird again. But if you're lucky, it, you know, you will.
Yeah, I actually did have a client a few years back that had birds, and she would, and that happened to her. It got out, and, you know, we were trying to connect with it, which we did, but, you know, it was scary for her. So now you said clip its wings. So tell people what you mean by that, because we don't mean we're just cutting their wings.
Right. It's the cutting the primary feathers.
Okay, so it's only feathers. We're not cutting,
right,
into the wing itself.
Right. It should be done by someone that knows what they're doing.
Okay.
Because you don't want to cut what it prevents. It makes the bird fly down instead of getting any height.
Oh, so that could be dangerous,
yeah,
for the bird.
Yeah.
So you need to know exactly which feathers. And
right.
Yeah, so you need to actually be working with an expert. So,
yes.
So if you have birds, I'm sure people would know this, but where would you, do you have to then take the bird? Do you just do that once, Randy? Or
probably like every 6 months.
Okay, so it's like trimming toenails for those of you with dogs.
Well, the toenails also get trimmed on a bird also.
Okay, all right. So do you go to a vet for this?
You can go to a vet. You can go to a pet shop, or I can do it.
Oh, you can do it. Well, there, yeah. There you go, Randy. So we'll be giving your contact information at the end here, because we might have some bird people who are interested and they're going to want to do things like that. So I guess, you know, birds just by nature, just like any animal, aren't used to being in a cage. So
Right. It's
really helpful for them to get out.
And it's a good idea to have toys in there. There's chewing toys you should have for a bird. You should have foot toys and noisemakers.
Oh, my goodness. So, well, now tell us a little bit about that. So, chewing toys.
Chewing toys is more or less like a piece of wood.
Okay.
That also helps to keep their beak from getting pointy and things like this. It keeps it in shape.
Okay.
Foot toys helps them to, they pick it up. Toys up with their claws and they toss it and things like this. It keeps them active and stuff like this. Toys just make noise. It's just for them to actually play.
Oh, now, so is that like something that like rattles or crunches?
I use old baby toys.
Oh, baby toys. I love that.
Yeah.
So they'll pick them up and shake them, and they
yeah.
So that's just fun. They just...
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
And birds are with their toys, they're destructive, but that's the nature of the bird.
Okay. So they're just, they're going to be rough with the toys, is what
yes.
you're telling me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so are kids, right?
Right.
So we're used to that. Once you buy toys, you know, you're going to have toys that break, and you're going to have to get new toys. So that's interesting. So birds actually are much more interactive than I knew.
Oh, yes, they're very active. And birds are very smart. You know, even they have, some people call other people bird brain, but birds are very smart.
So that's interesting.
Right now, I have an African gray that has a mentality of a four-year-old.
Wow, that's amazing, Randy.
And that's the African gray is probably one of the smartest birds in captivity.
Oh, interesting. So you must have to spend a lot of time.
Yes.
Is it a him or her?
Well, it has a him name because it's a rescued bird, but a member of the bird club told me that's a female, so I'm not changing its name. So.
Oh, you know, we talked about that because we had another gal, my client, with her cockatiel, who the bird's name was Emmett, and they found out through DNA testing that it was female.
Yeah.
And she tried to change its name, but it didn't want to be changed. So.
No. It's hard to change
your
bird's name.
Well, so what is your bird's name?
His name is Harold.
Harold, okay. Yeah. So how long has Harold had that name?
Harold had that name for 20-some years.
Wow. So 20-plus years. Well, you know, if you've been called Harold for 20-plus years, you wouldn't want to be called, you know, Joyce now.
Right.
So that's just his name. But that's another thing, Randy. I mean, 20-some years. I mean, you know, how many other pets have that longevity?
Well, African grays can live up to 60 years.
Wow, 60 years.
The larger the bird, usually the rule of thumb is the larger the bird, the longer the lifespan. So that's why I say a bird is a commitment.
Wow, absolutely. I mean, my goodness, you could have a bird for your whole life.
And past your life.
Yeah, and past your life. And that's another good point, too, because, you know, as with all animals, but particularly when you know you have one that can live that long, you need to make accommodations for them.
Right.
Yeah, in case something happens. And we had that gal from Pet Guardians on, and that's exactly what she does helps with people who are, you know, getting elderly and need help and need things. I don't know that she's ever done anything with birds, but my goodness.
Yeah.
So how about that 60 plus years? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
So you've been spending an awful lot of time with Harold because you have to because he's so smart, you have to keep him occupied, don't you?
Well, he's a talker.
He's a talker.
Yes. See, birds don't really, I don't think they do. They don't know what they're saying there. They mimic. They don't actually talk.
Okay.
But birds really pick up things real quick. But so that's why you got to watch what you say.
Yeah, you got to be careful, I guess, because you might be using some colorful language and they could pick that up, couldn't they?
Right.
So you never know. You might be having the minister over and all of a sudden your bird like out you with something.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. So when you say he's quite a talker, so he just is like, it's sort of espousing. He's just like, saying things that he heard just to hear himself talk? Or
well,
does he actually...
I did the mistake of teaching my name.
Uh-huh.
And he says my name probably like 20 different ways. He stretches it out and so...
So he's having fun with Randy, right?
Yeah. And I love you and...
Oh, well, I like that. That's nice
yeah.
to teach him to say
yeah.
that. You can never hear that too often, can
right.
you? Yeah. Does he ever just, like, out of the blue come up with a phrase and you're wondering,
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Like, where'd that come from? So maybe it isn't just mimic.
Well, I think what it was, for him, it might have came from his previous owner.
Oh, okay.
But they make up their own words, too.
I like that. So, like, a word you never heard of comes out?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a new word, and, like, when they make up the sound, so can you give us one? Can you remember one?
I can't remember one right
okay.
now, but... He just, and they make all kinds of noises. They take their beaks and grind them together or click them like a regular clicker.
Oh.
They do that, and that there is a defense mechanism.
Oh, the clicking is a,
yeah.
So it is like a, it like tells people stay away,
right.
or it's like they think that scares something
right.
away.
What
okay.
it is, the reason for some birds talk is to, if there's a predator around, they mimic another animal sound. So they try to throw the predator off.
Oh, I never thought about that. So
yeah.
it might make a sound. So it might make a barking sound or a
or lion or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess there's not a lot of dogs in the jungle. So is that where most birds originate from, Randy, like the tropics?
They know there's some all over the place, the Brazil, Australia. Cockatiels and parakeets are originated from Australia.
Oh, my goodness.
That's another thing, placement of the food dishes.
Okay.
You got to do some research and find out if your bird is a ground feeder or a tree feeder.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Parakeets and cockatiels are what we call ground feeders. They pick up seeds off the ground.
Okay.
So you would want to put your food dishes closer to the bottom of the cage, in the water dishes.
Okay.
Other birds, you might want to put the dish up higher. Now, if you get there's a what we call a lorikeet. They do not eat seeds or anything. They eat nectar.
Oh, interesting.
And like fruit juices and things like this.
So it's like a hummingbird eats nectar.
Sort of like,
but,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, but they're very, very colorful birds.
Okay, so do they like just pick at like fruit or do they actually just have something liquid?
Something liquid.
Oh, my goodness.
We went to the Pittsburgh... the National Aviation Aviary down in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And they have a cage down there where they give you a little cup of nectar, and these birds just fly all over you, just try to get the little nectar out of the little cup they give you.
Oh, wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah.
And how fun for kids.
Yes.
How fun for kids, and they just, oh my goodness. So, of course, they're used to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, how are we doing, Gil, for time?
We're going to have to take a break here.
Okay, Randy, hang in there. We'll be back
sure.
with you.
Okay.
All righty.
We'll be back after this.
Okay, good morning, everybody. And we're on the air with Randy Grove, who's the president of the York Pet Bird Club, and we're talking about birds. How about, Randy?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I wanted to talk to you, too, because the one question I wanted to ask you is, I get a lot of calls as an animal communicator about birds with the problem of feather picking.
Well, feather picking could be many, many situations. It could be the spring and fall molting season. It could be hormonal. It could be stress or emotional problems. Or it could be the bird is sick.
Okay.
First step would be probably to go to your veterinarian and go to an avian vet and have the doctor check it out.
And rule out some of the, you know, obvious
right.
things like illness.
Right. Another thing could be the bird's bored. Maybe you have to change some of the toys out.
Yeah, that's interesting. Or maybe spend more time with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I just learning how intelligent birds are, you know, they require a lot of one-on-one, you know, interaction, don't they?
Right. You know, birds like to play.
Birds like to play. I like
yes.
that. You know, I remember hearing this one time. It said, pet birds are not the feathered equivalent of brightly colored aquarium fish.
Right.
Because I think a lot of people think that. They're just in the cage and, you know, they're just pretty to look at and that's all it is.
Yeah, and that's false because, you know, like I say, birds are active creatures.
Yeah, so now tell us, now you talked to us about Harold and how he's such a talker. How do you teach a bird to talk?
It just, well, to get a bird to start talking, they suggest to you repeat whatever you want to say. And a good way to do this is do it with a recording on a tape player.
Oh, okay. So you record something that you want it to hear, you use repetition, that it
yep.
hears over and over again.
Yeah.
And then it starts to mimic that.
Yes.
Okay. So it's like a playback feature.
Right.
All right, and do you feel like any bird can be taught to talk?
Usually they say that males talk better than...
Males talk better than females?
Yeah.
Okay, did everybody hear that out there? This is the first time us gals aren't going to be called, you know, the talkers. So interesting. So males talk better. So,
yeah.
But I guess you can try with any
oh, yeah.
birds. Okay.
Yeah, you can try. Well, Harold put that theory to rest because Harold's a female.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So there you go. So
yeah.
See, it's not all males. All right, we'll give
right.
you that. I always kid my husband that sometimes guys are the biggest gossips. Is Harold
yeah.
gossip? He's not a guy, though. See, that's confusing, Randy.
Yes. There's always a rule breaker in every situation.
Yeah, but you got to love that. I love the rule yeah. breakers. That's what keeps us going, right?
Right.
Well, now tell people a little bit more about the care of birds. We touched on a couple things.
Okay. People usually say birds are dirty animals. Well, if you have a cat, you got a litter box. You got to feed the bird. You got hair on or your furniture. You got to take it. You got fleas and this and that and everything. A bird is no dirtier than a dog or a cat or fish, really.
Yeah.
It's just that people visualize the seed on the floor, and what the bird's trying to do is keep his house clean.
Oh, I like that. So it's cleaning up its own
yeah.
cage.
But see, in nature, birds throw their stuff out. That's how we get new trees and things around. When they go into trees and stuff and eat seeds because they throw some of the seed down and you get new trees.
Right, right. Or they, you know, they either throw it out of their mouth or it comes out the other end.
Right. Or I had this one African gray. I used to have two. And I got it from a lady. And the bird would always throw its food out. So I called the lady up and asked her, I said, did this bird always do this or just to happen? She said, well, we used to have a big dog, and the bird would feed the dog first.
Oh,
my
gosh. It was sharing. It was
yeah.
sharing its
yep.
meal with the dog. Isn't that interesting? Wow. So that's, you know, I want people to know that. It's like, you know, it's in the cage, but, you know, sometimes you're going to find bird seed and other things
yeah.
outside the cage.
Right.
So when you let Harold out inside your home, Randy, you know, do you have to worry about him, like, dropping things on your furniture?
Well, he stays on top of his cage.
Oh, isn't that interesting? So even though he's free to go where he wants, he stays on the cage.
Yeah. Now, some people do not trim their wings, and they let their birds fly in their house.
Okay.
But, you know, it's up to the own individual, but there you're taking a chance, because I had a bird that was close to my desk, and I had a fan on top of my desk, and the bird chewed through the electrical cord.
Oh, my goodness.
And luckily, the bird wasn't electrocuted.
So he just lit up for a bit.
Yeah.
Well, my goodness. So isn't that funny? So he thought that cord was a chew toy, huh?
Yeah. And you got to watch. Birds love to chew on wood.
Oh, so it
could
chew on
So you got to watch your windowsills and door frames and everything else.
Oh, my gosh. So Harold can't fly. You have him.
He can fly down.
Okay.
But he can't fly up.
Okay. All right.
And if you do have a bird that flies in the house, you shouldn't have any ceiling fans, because that could be hazardous, very hazardous, if they fly up.
Oh yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Nothing like getting whacked with a ceiling
fan.
Oh, my goodness. So, and also, you would have to be careful if you have other animals in your home.
Yeah. Now, some birds get along with cats and dogs and other animals.
Now, that's interesting, Randy.
But reptiles and birds do not mix.
But see, I would have thought cats and birds don't mix.
Yeah.
Because, you know, outside, I mean, there's plenty of birds that get napped by cats.
Right.
But inside, a bird and a cat can get along?
Yes.
Now, how does that work?
I have no idea. I had people tell me, because usually a bird will go after a cat, but
right.
Sometimes they just be buddies.
Oh, isn't it? Well, you know, I wonder, well, maybe it goes back to what you said earlier, that, you know, when they're in the home together, the bird accepts it as part of its flock.
Flock, yeah.
Because it's family.
Right.
You know, I'll bet you any money that's what goes on. Isn't that interesting? So, well, now let's make sure that we tell people a little bit about the Pet Bird Club, Randy, because that's such a great resource.
Okay. The Pet Bird Club meets every third Tuesday at 7 o'clock at Adams Electric Co-op, and that is 200 Trinity Road, York, PA, south on 616.
Wonderful. And I've been there. It's a wonderful. And, Randy, do people, they can just show up, right? They don't need to make any special arrangement.
No, they just show up. Matter of fact, next Tuesday is the Bird Club's birthday.
Oh, how many years?
I don't know right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday, Bird Club.
but the Bird Club gets its message is dedicated to teaching the care, sharing, and knowledge, and telling of the love and joy of pet birds.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect.
And we do go out to different places and try to teach people the bird care and stuff. We used to go to pet shops and take our birds along and tell people the proper way to care for their birds and what to feed them and this and that and everything else. And then last week, this past Sunday, we went to the 4-H fair to do that. And then in September, we're going to up to Hanover to a place for a pet blessing.
A pet blessing.
Yeah, it's Mount Carmel Church.
Oh, okay. And they're going to do something. I know there's a certain Sunday that they always do something for the animals.
Yeah, that's where we're going.
And you're going to take the birds?
Yes, we're going to take our birds and have an information stand.
Oh, my goodness. Won't that be special for the church? That'll be so pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, I love that. And so do you go into the schools very often?
Schools, you got to be sort of leery with. We do have a woman that has a therapy bird that she takes into nursing homes and things like this.
I was going to ask you about that because it seems like it would be such a nice addition for senior centers and nursing homes.
And then we have a person that or the Lutheran Home on Kelly Drive here in New York that they have finches, and we go in there and trim their wings and clean out the cage for them.
Oh, that's nice. How nice is that? Because, you know, there's a lot of work involved in things with the birds, but I would think it would just be so comforting. It's like watching the fish. It gives you something to look at and interact with, and that'd be wonderful.
It's just like, you know, get back again, you know, people say, well, how do you put up with that noise?
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
It's just like anything else, you know. You hear a fan running, you know, at first it's annoying, and then you just get used to it.
So they're always chirping or talking or something, right?
Right.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I know when I call you on the phone, I can always hear it in the background.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so they're definitely vocal, right?
Yes.
I've heard stories of even some apartments telling people, you know, that, you know, they can't have birds because they've had people who live there with really loud birds.
Yeah. Well, usually the most really loud birds are the larger birds, the cockatoos and the macaws and some of the Amazons.
Okay.
See, that's why I got an African gray. I always wanted a large bird, and I talked to a pet store that's a member of a bird club, and she said that, you know, an African gray is quiet, and I live in a second-floor apartment, and my neighbors never even hear it, but sometimes I can hear it on the outside, but it doesn't go through the brick walls.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Randy, we're winding down here, and so I have a couple things to share, too, but I am so glad that you were able to join us tomorrow or today and tell us about birds, because it's something that, you know, people don't know a lot about, but it really could be a nice addition to the family. How are they for allergies? You know, I'm thinking they might be good for people who have allergies to cats and dogs.
Well, birds give off that's how they clean themselves, with a dust. So you have to watch yourself.
Okay, so you might have allergy issues with birds as well.
Right. Now, I forgot to give you my number in case you want to get
wonderful.
A hold of me.
Yes, please do.
My phone number is my cell phone number. I'll give that out. Is area code 717-318-2278. Feel free to call me anytime if you have a question.
All right. Thank you, Randy. Thank you. I'm so glad you did that, because then people will be able to get a hold of you. And I encourage everybody to pop in on one of those meetings of the Bird Club, because it's a nice group of people, very friendly, and they love sharing all their information about birds. Okay, Randy, thanks for joining us this morning.
Okay.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody, that was interesting. Who knew all that great stuff about birds? I had no idea, but it's always fun to learn new things when we're here on the show in the morning. And I get to do a little research beforehand, and I get to learn new things too, which is wonderful for me as an animal communicator. It sort of gives me a little more background into everything different. So I am going to tell everybody again, you know, you can always reach me as a psychic medium and an animal communicator. My number, my office number, is 717-968-5289. And I'm also available for in-person readings. I have offices in Hanover at the Eichelberger Center and also down in New York. So you can go onto my website, www.jackielebeau.com. That's JACQUILEBEAU.com. Or give me a call, okay, and we'll set something up. So I would love to meet you and help you with anything that you need, whether you want to connect with loved ones on the other side or connect with one of your pets, either living or past. So it's always nice to do that for people. So here we go. And where are we, Gil?
Well, we should take a break right here.
All right. Okay. We'll be back.
Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Service. Hey, we're back.
Okay. We're back.
With Jackie LeBeau and Heart to Heart.
Yeah. So I want to thank Randy again for joining us this morning. I want to give you his number again, because he is just such a great resource at 717-318-2278. So if you have any questions about birds, please take him up on that. He is so helpful. So I also wanted to let everybody know that I'm going on vacation next week, so I'm not going to be here for the show. So when I return on Tuesday, August 27th, we'll be switching back to the more spiritual side, and we'll be talking about mediumship with a guest that's a medium, a friend of mine. So we'll have that to look forward to, and that's coming up. So that's what's on the schedule. And meanwhile, next week I'll be up in New York. I'll be at Lilydale. And I don't know if anybody knows about Lilydale, but it is a spiritual retreat that's been around since the 1800s. And it is quite a mecca for mediums, and I'll be taking some advanced training. So I'm always working on improving and getting better at what I do so I can serve spirit better and serve you better. So that's what I'm up to next week. Okay, so I guess we're just about rolling out here, right, Gil?
We're done.
Okay, all right. Goodbye, okay. Everybody. See you on the 27th.